Around the World. I'm John Batchelor with my colleague and friend Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. The United States Navy Surface Fleet, the United States Navy supercarriers, two, three supercarriers, enough to take on a whole continent, except we welcome Brendan Weikert, author most recently of The Shadow War about Iran. Right now we're addressing the vulnerability of the United States Navy Surface Fleet to the Chinese intention to invade Taiwan and dominate the world. Brendan, a very good evening to you. The American Navy is supreme in the Pacific and the Atlantic. It has challenges ahead, and one of those challenges is the People's Republic of China's intention to use anti-ship missiles reaching out, I can never remember, 1,000 kilometers or 1,000 miles, able to reach Guam. Is there a counter to that? Good evening to you, Brendan.
Good evening, John. Hello, Gordon, and thanks as always for having me. The what we're talking about really is more than anti-ship missiles. That's just one component of a larger tapestry of weapon systems and sensors that the Chinese have developed, known as anti-access area denial, otherwise known as A2AD. Those A2AD systems allow for China to basically create what they refer to as defensive bubbles around territories that they covet, such as the South or East China Seas, or even the Taiwan Strait. And when those bubbles are created with these A2AD systems, it basically means U.S. aircraft carriers and most of the surface warships that comprise a carrier battle group will not be able to deploy near shores that are in contested environments, because these systems could basically destroy or severely damage those U.S. warships, rendering them combat ineffective and giving China all the opportunity they need to run roughshod over whatever they're targeting.
I think you just told me we don't have a counter to it. Is that correct?
We do not actively have a counter. The Army and Marines are developing their own sort of long-range hypersonic weapons capabilities that are meant to basically hit those A2AD emplacements from afar without putting the carriers at risk. The Navy has been exploring some alternatives as well, and the Air Force has as well, but we're not deploying yet anything really that could believably counter the Chinese. The Chinese have had about a 10 to 15 year head start on us in building up these A2AD systems. When I worked in government, we talked a lot about counter A2AD, but there's very little momentum in that regard. All the money for the Navy, for example, continues to be poured into these legacy systems like the aircraft carrier without getting any kind of protection for those carriers.
Gordon, you have a question for Brendan.
Brendan, does China's weapons, their anti-ship cruise missiles, their hypersonic missiles, do they require space dominance and control? And is one way that we can actually get at that is to take down their satellites and their space system? If you could talk a little bit about that, because it seems to me that's the one defense that we do have. And if we can do that, then the carrier is an especially effective weapon in a war with, say, China.
Yeah. So, some of these weapon systems that China will deploy don't necessarily rely on satellites. They have inertial guidance, internal guidance, but you're right. The satellites are the key strategic asset that you really need the whole kind of tapestry of A2AD to work. We could clip those wings, but the problem is Space Force doctrine, as I understand it, will not do that, because basically what we're going to have to do is hit those systems first. But the Chinese are going to do a first strike with these A2AD systems. So, my concern is we're going to be basically waiting for China to do something, and then we'll try to take out those satellites. But there's a possibility China will strike at one of our aircraft carriers nearby when they're ready to invade Taiwan, or when they're ready to do something against the Senkaku Islands or against the Philippines. So the Space Force doctrine needs to shift away from space superiority, which is more defensive and reactive, and it needs to go to what I've been saying in my book, Winning Space, which is space dominance, which is more offensive. If we detect that China's getting ready to roll, we have to preemptively strike all those those Chinese space assets in order to prevent their A2AD system from having the kind of effectiveness that they otherwise will have?
The U.S. Navy is building frigates. The U.S. Navy has attack boats. Does that answer, Brandon?
Not really. In my opinion, what we should be fixating on, and we're not, are submarines in terms of manned capabilities. The subs are going to be key, specifically attack submarines. They're talking about retiring the LA class, the Los Angeles class submarine. That's a big mistake. We already don't have enough attack subs. We should not be retiring any of those systems. And then we should also be reinvigorating our shipyards to be able to build more submarines. Right now, they are not able to meet peacetime demand, let alone wartime demand. Another thing the Navy should be focused on, instead of carriers and surface ships, are unmanned underwater vehicles, unmanned aerial vehicles, and developing the necessary directed energy weapons as well as hypersonic weapons to be able to hit these A2AD emplacements from beyond the horizon, rendering those A2AD systems useless, and then allowing for a more conventional U.S. Navy deployment with carriers in relative safety.
Gordon, you have a question.
Brandon, China's building carriers like hotcakes. What does that tell you?
Yeah, well, this is a common question I get, and I've written articles about this because it is a little questionable. Why would they be doing it if they're obsolete? Well, one of the things is China is trying to send a signal to their neighbors that they are the dominant power in the Indo-Pacific. Carriers are a prestige system. They are able to do that. Their carriers are not as complex as ours, even the newer ones, still not quite as complex. But the key thing here is with A2AD, in their thinking, they're saying if we can create a bubble around a contested environment, we can keep the American carriers over the horizon and basically useless. That allows for our carriers then to run roughshod over targets nearer to us because the Americans won't be able to get in closer to hit our subs. I mean, to hit our aircraft carriers, which is why submarines for the U.S. Navy are so important, because the U.S. Navy could actually get close to those carriers, those Chinese carriers, and sink them with submarines.
Brandon, right now, the PLA Navy, is it ready for this contest you're talking about, or does it need time?
In my opinion, the Pentagon's assessment that the earliest they could attack Taiwan is 2027. I think their assessment at the Pentagon is wrong. I think that if they were to go in this year, and I know Eric Prince agrees with me, the founder of Blackwater, if China were to go in this year, either some point this spring or fall, I think they could have a very real chance of achieving their objectives in Taiwan with their current systems.
With their current systems, and they would be on the defensive as well, yes? Are they ready to defend the homeland?
I think an attack on China's homeland might give Xi what he needs to rally around the flag. That's really what he wants right now, is a rally around the flag moment. So it actually might have the unintended effect of really pushing China into war fever.
Brandon Weikert, author of the new book, The Shadow War, about the contest with Iran, writing at National Interest. Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. I'm John Beck.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor,